A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been rethinking his storage setup after a few moves, picking up Euro boxes and a wooden pallet from a logistics supplier, and now he's wondering about pallet materials. Specifically, he needs something that can live outdoors on a patio in Israeli weather, handle rain cycles and UV without rotting, but still be strong enough to move boxes of audio gear around periodically. He's asking, wood, plastic, or steel? What's the best combination of weatherproofing and usable strength for someone who isn't running a warehouse but does need the thing to actually work?
Oh, this is a great question, and it sits right at this intersection that most pallet coverage completely ignores. The gap between industrial logistics and what I'd call civilian adjacent use. Someone who's not moving pallets with a forklift every day, but still needs the pallet to be a pallet.
Civilian adjacent pallet use. There's a sentence I didn't expect to hear.
It's a real category, and the answer depends on something most people get wrong about pallets from the start. They think wood pallets are the default because wood is cheap. That's only about a third of the story. Wood pallets dominate because the entire global logistics chain is calibrated around them. The nail patterns, the repair infrastructure, the weight tolerances, the way forklift tines expect a certain amount of give. Wood pallets aren't just cheap. They're the musical equivalent of beige wallpaper that everyone's already painted their walls to match.
Switching materials means you're not just buying a different object. You're opting out of an ecosystem.
And for your typical warehouse running 48 by 40 inch GMA pallets, that ecosystem is everything. But for Daniel's use case, the ecosystem barely matters. He's not sending pallets through a supply chain. He's using one as a portable, storable platform. So the calculation flips.
All right, let's walk through the materials then. Wood first, since that's what he already has.
The pallet he received is almost certainly heat-treated softwood, probably pine or spruce, built to either the EUR pallet spec, which is 800 by 1200 millimeters, or a standard ISO pallet. The EUR pallet, the Euro pallet, is the one with the EPAL logo burned into the corner blocks. That logo matters because it means the pallet was built to a specific standard with specific wood treatments.
Those treatments are what, exactly?
Two main ones. Heat treatment to ISPM 15, which is the international standard for killing pests in wood packaging. That's the HT stamp you see. And then a moisture content target, usually below 22%. Neither of those treatments does anything for weatherproofing. Heat treatment kills beetles and fungi, but it doesn't seal the wood against rain. The moment you put an untreated softwood pallet on a patio in Israel, you've got maybe one wet season before the rot starts. One serious rainy season, yes. Softwood absorbs water aggressively. The cells are basically straws. And in Israel, you've got this particular problem where it's not consistently wet. You get intense rain followed by intense sun. That wet-dry cycling is actually worse for wood than constant moisture because the repeated swelling and shrinking cracks the cell structure. Add UV breaking down the lignin at the surface, and after 18 months you've got a pallet that's gray, splintered, and structurally questionable.
Wood outdoors is a consumable, not an asset.
That's the perfect way to put it. In logistics, wood pallets are designed to be consumable. The average GMA pallet survives maybe 10 to 15 trips before it needs repair or gets ground into mulch. The EUR pallet is more durable. It's built heavier, with specific block dimensions and chamfered edges, but it's still fundamentally a wooden object that the system expects to degrade.
What about treating it yourself? Could he just seal it?
A good marine-grade sealant would help, but here's the thing. Pallet wood is usually the lowest grade of lumber that can hold a nail. It's full of knots. The grain runs in every direction, and the boards are often cut from the outer sections of the log where the wood is less dense. Sealing helps, but you're sealing mediocre material. And if the pallet sits directly on a wet surface, water wicks up through the bottom blocks regardless of what's on top.
Wood is the wrong answer for this use case.
For outdoor storage in a wet climate, yeah, it'll work for a while, but it's a countdown clock. Let's talk plastic.
Which I assume come in more than one flavor.
The main division is between high-density polyethylene, HDPE, and polypropylene. HDPE is the more common one for general-purpose plastic pallets. It's what milk jugs are made of, scaled up. Polypropylene is stiffer and has better chemical resistance, but gets brittle in cold temperatures. Neither one cares about water at all. Zero water absorption. You can submerge them indefinitely. That's the vulnerability. Untreated HDPE degrades under prolonged UV exposure. It gets chalky, develops surface cracks, loses impact strength. But here's the key difference from wood. UV degradation in plastic is slow and mostly cosmetic for a long time. A plastic pallet left outside for 5 years will look terrible, faded, maybe a bit powdery on the surface, but it'll still hold weight. The structural integrity doesn't collapse the way rotten wood does.
It's ugly but functional.
And ugly but functional is basically the slogan for plastic pallets in general. They're not winning design awards, but they're immune to rot, insects, mold, and moisture. They don't splinter. They're lighter than wood. A typical HDPE pallet weighs maybe 15 to 25 pounds versus 40 to 50 for a comparable wood pallet. And they're often this stable, which means they stack inside each other when empty and take up less space.
That last part seems relevant for someone in an Israeli apartment.
The stable plastic pallets collapse their vertical profile by about 60% when stacked empty. If you're storing this thing on a patio, the ability to nest two or three of them together and have them take up barely more room than one is a genuine advantage.
They're more expensive.
A new HDPE pallet runs anywhere from $40 to over $100 depending on the design and load rating. A used wood pallet, by contrast, is often free or under $10. Even a new EUR pallet is typically $25 to $35. The plastic premium is real.
The question becomes whether that premium buys you enough.
In this use case, I think it does. And I want to get into why, but let me cover steel first so we've got the full picture.
The intimidating option.
Intimidating and fascinating. Steel pallets are usually fabricated from galvanized or stainless steel, with a load capacity that's frankly absurd for civilian use. We're talking dynamic loads of 4,000 to 6,000 pounds, static loads over 10,000. They're used in heavy industry, pharmaceutical clean rooms, and anywhere you need fire resistance or extreme hygiene.
They're overkill for audio cables.
But that's not the only problem. Steel pallets are heavy. 80 to 120 pounds empty. They're expensive, $200 and up, often much more. And while galvanized steel resists corrosion well, it's not immune. In a coastal environment, which much of Israel is, salt spray will eventually find any scratch in the galvanization and start rust from underneath. Plus, steel pallets conduct heat like crazy. Leave one in Israeli summer sun, and it'll be 140 degrees to the touch.
Steel is the answer to what if my pallet needed to survive a foundry, and not much else for this use case.
Unless you need fireproofing or cleanroom compatibility, steel is spending money to solve problems you don't have while creating new ones you don't want.
We're down to plastic, but I want to push on something. You said plastic pallets are immune to rot, which is true. But you also mentioned UV degradation. How bad does it actually get, and is there a way around it?
So the degradation pathway for HDPE under UV is primarily photooxidation. The polymer chains break down at the surface, reducing molecular weight. This shows up first as discoloration. The pallet goes from its original color to a chalky white or gray, and then as surface micro-cracking. Over years, those cracks can deepen, and the material loses some of its flexibility and impact resistance.
Not all of.
And here's the important nuance. The degradation is surface limited. UV doesn't penetrate deeply into HDPE. Below the surface layer, the material is essentially unchanged. So a 10-year-old sun-beaten plastic pallet might look terrible but still hold 90% of its original load rating.
Which is already more than he needs.
Even a light-duty HDPE pallet is rated for a static load of 1,500 to 2,000 pounds. Daniel's audio gear, even in Euro boxes, is maybe a few hundred pounds at most. He's operating at like 10 to 20% of capacity even after UV degradation takes its toll.
Are there UV-stabilized plastic pallets?
Yes, and this is where things get interesting. Many manufacturers add UV stabilizers to their HDPE formulation, typically hindered amine light stabilizers or carbon black. Carbon black is the most effective and the cheapest. It absorbs UV and dissipates it as heat, protecting the polymer matrix. A black HDPE pallet with carbon black stabilizer can sit in direct sunlight for a decade and show minimal degradation.
The solution is to buy a black plastic pallet.
Specifically, a black HDPE pallet with UV stabilizers. And ideally one that's nestable, which most are. The nestability means when he's not using it, it sits flat against other pallets or against itself if it's a single unit, taking up minimal patio real estate.
Black in Israeli sun. Doesn't that get hot?
But we're talking about a pallet, not a chair. He's not sitting on it. The heat doesn't affect its function, and plastic doesn't conduct heat nearly as aggressively as steel. You could touch a black plastic pallet in summer sun without injury. You wouldn't want to nap on it, but that's not the brief.
The brief is holds boxes, lives outside, doesn't die. Black plastic pallet. Seems almost too straightforward.
It is straightforward, but there's a reason most people don't arrive at this answer naturally. The world of pallets is so dominated by wood that plastic reads as exotic or specialized. People assume plastic pallets are for food processing or pharmaceuticals, industries with hygiene requirements, and don't realize they're also the best outdoor option for small-scale use.
The hygiene angle is interesting, though. A plastic pallet doesn't absorb anything. No oils, no moisture, no dirt. You can hose it down.
And for something living on a patio, that's a real advantage. Dust storms, bird droppings, spilled coffee, it all washes off. Wood absorbs all of that. After a year on a patio, a wood pallet isn't just rotting, it's also stained, possibly moldy, and probably hosting a small ecosystem in its cracks.
Like adopting a feral cat.
A feral cat made of splinters and fungus.
Let's talk specifics. If he's going plastic, what should he look for?
A few things. The Eurobox system is built around the 1200 by 800 millimeter footprint, which is the EUR pallet size. If he's using Euroboxes, he wants a plastic pallet that matches that footprint, or at minimum, one that the boxes can sit on without overhang. Overhang is the enemy of box integrity. A Eurobox hanging off the edge of a pallet will deform over time.
Because the load isn't supported at the corners?
Euroboxes are designed to have their corners supported by the pallet perimeter. If the pallet is too small, the boxes cantilever and the plastic walls take stress they weren't designed for. So step one, match the footprint. 1200 by 800, or at least 1000 by 1200, which is a common ISO size that's close enough. For his use case, he doesn't need heavy duty. A light duty or medium duty HDPE pallet with a static capacity of 1500 pounds or more is plenty. That covers his gear with enormous margin. What he should pay attention to is the dynamic load rating, because that's what matters when he's actually moving the loaded pallet, sliding it, lifting it with a hand truck, whatever. Dynamic ratings for light plastic pallets are typically in the 800 to 1500 pound range, still more than enough. Plastic pallets come in two broad categories, solid deck and open deck. Solid deck is a flat surface, good for small items that might fall through gaps. Open deck has a grid or slatted top. Lighter, cheaper, drains water instantly. For outdoor storage, open deck is actually better because rainwater doesn't pool. Pooled water on a solid deck pallet isn't a structural problem for plastic the way it is for wood, but it's annoying and can breed mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes are a non-trivial concern in Israel.
Very non-trivial. An open deck plastic pallet drains completely. Rain falls through, surface dries in minutes, no standing water, no mosquito habitat.
We're looking for a black UV stabilized, open deck nestable HDPE pallet in 1200 by 800 or close to it, with a light to medium load rating.
That's the spec. And the good news is, this isn't a rare item. Multiple manufacturers make exactly this product. It's used in export shipping for goods that need weather resistance during ocean transit, and in agricultural settings where pallets live outdoors. It's not the most common pallet in the world, but it's absolutely available.
What about cost? You said 40 to 100 plus for plastic. Where does this spec land?
For a new unit matching those specs, probably $60 to $80. Used plastic pallets exist, but they're harder to find than used wood, because the plastic pallet market is smaller and the units last longer. They don't get cycled out and replaced the way wood does. But $60 to $80 for something that will last functionally forever in his use case is reasonable.
Functionally forever is a strong claim.
For what he's doing, I'll stand by it. UV-stabilized HDPE has a service life measured in decades outdoors. It doesn't rot, doesn't corrode, doesn't absorb water, doesn't host pests, doesn't splinter. The only failure mode that matters, catastrophic physical damage, like driving a forklift tine through it, isn't relevant here because he's not using forklifts. Short of taking an axe to it, that pallet will outlast his need for it.
Compared to the wood pallet he already has.
The wood pallet he has is perfectly fine for indoor use, for a single move, for temporary staging. It's not a bad pallet, it's just the wrong material for permanent or semi-permanent outdoor storage. He could keep it, use it for the move itself, and then either pass it along or repurpose it as something else. A compost bin base, a garage shelf, the classic Pinterest coffee table. But as an outdoor equipment platform, it's on borrowed time.
The recommendation is, keep the wood pallet for the move, but if he wants a pallet that lives on the patio permanently, buy a plastic one.
That's the recommendation, and I'd add one more thing. If he's moving Euro boxes on this pallet, he should think about how he's securing them. Plastic pallets are slippery compared to wood. Euro boxes sitting on a smooth plastic surface will slide around during transport unless they're strapped down or the pallet has a textured surface.
That's a practical detail most people miss.
It's the kind of thing you discover the first time you brake slightly and your entire storage system rearranges itself in the back of the van. Some plastic pallets have raised edges or lip designs specifically to prevent this. Others have rubber grommets you can add at the contact points. If the one he buys doesn't have that, a simple ratchet strap solves the problem entirely.
Ratchet straps, the universal language of, I would like this to not move.
The unsung heroes of logistics. Two ratchet straps around the boxes and the pallet, and nothing is going anywhere.
Let me push on one assumption here. We've been talking as if the pallet needs to be a single durable item. But what if the smarter move is to treat pallets the way logistics does, as consumables, and just replace the wood one every couple of years?
That's a fair counterpoint. If a used wood pallet is $10 or free, and you replace it every 2 years, you could go 12 to 16 years before hitting the cost of a $60 plastic pallet. Financially, it's a wash or even favors wood if you have a free source.
Why not just do that?
A few reasons. First, the hassle factor. Sourcing a replacement pallet every couple of years, disposing of the rotten one, dealing with the splinters and the mold and the general decay, that's time and attention. Second, the quality variability. Not all free wood pallets are created equal. Some are treated with methyl bromide, which you absolutely don't want near anything you care about. Some are half broken already. The consistency isn't there. Third is the Eurobox interface. Wood pallets, especially used ones, have rough surfaces. Splinters, raised nail heads, warped boards. Euroboxes are precision molded plastic. They'll get scratched up sliding across rough wood repeatedly. Over time, that friction damage adds up. A plastic pallet with a smooth or lightly textured surface is gentler on the boxes.
It's not just about the pallet surviving. It's about what the pallet does to everything else.
The pallet isn't the only object in the system. It's the foundation for the boxes, the gear inside the boxes, and the process of moving all of it. A splintered wood pallet that snags a Euro box and tips it over during a move is a much more expensive problem than just buying the right pallet up front.
That's the kind of second-order thinking that separates cheap from inexpensive.
Cheap is buying the thing twice. Inexpensive is buying the right thing once.
All right, let's zoom out for a second. We've been talking about this one pallet for this one use case, but what's actually happening in the pallet world more broadly? You mentioned plastic pallets are a small slice of the market. Is that changing?
It is, and for reasons that connect directly to what we're discussing. The global pallet market is something like 2 billion pallets in circulation at any given time, and about 90 to 95% of those are wood. But plastic has been growing at roughly 6 to 7% annually for the past decade, driven by a few things. Hygiene regulations in food and pharma are a big one. The Food Safety Modernization Act in the US pushed a lot of food processors toward plastic because it's easier to sanitize. Export shipping is another. Many countries have tightened their ISPM 15 requirements for wood packaging, and plastic is exempt because it can't harbor pests. And then there's the automation trend. Automated warehouses with conveyor systems and robotic forklifts prefer plastic pallets because they're dimensionally consistent. Wood pallets vary, a few millimeters here and there, a slight warp, and automated systems hate variance.
Plastic is the pallet of the robot future.
In a sense, yes. The more automated logistics becomes, the more attractive plastic gets. Would slight unpredictability, which human forklift operators compensate for without thinking, becomes a real problem when a robot is trying to pick a pallet from a stack with millimeter precision.
Wood's big advantage remains cost?
Cost and repairability. A damaged wood pallet can be fixed with a hammer and some nails in about 3 minutes. A damaged plastic pallet is usually trash. You can't really repair HDPE in the field. But for low-intensity use like Daniel's, damage isn't a meaningful risk. He's not driving forklifts into it.
What about the environmental angle? Plastic pallets are, well, plastic. Wood is renewable, biodegradable, all that.
This is more nuanced than it looks. Wood pallets are biodegradable, yes, but the scale of wood pallet waste is enormous. Something like 25 to 30% of all wood in U.S. landfills is pallets and packaging. And wood pallets have a short life cycle. A plastic pallet lasts much longer, so the environmental cost per use year is lower. Plus, HDPE is recyclable. At end of life, a plastic pallet can be ground up and turned into a new pallet.
The greenest pallet is the one you don't have to replace.
For this use case, absolutely. The embodied energy of manufacturing one HDPE pallet that lasts 20 years is almost certainly lower than manufacturing, transporting, and disposing of 10 wood pallets over the same period.
Let's talk about something Daniel mentioned in his prompt. He said he's not usually into plastic. I get that. There's a reflex against plastic as cheap, disposable, environmentally suspect. But it sounds like in this application, plastic is actually the premium, durable, fit-for-purpose choice, and wood is the disposable one.
That's exactly the inversion. In pallet world, plastic is the premium product. It costs more up front, lasts dramatically longer, and outperforms in specific conditions. Moisture, hygiene, dimensional stability. Wood is the commodity option. It's cheap, it's everywhere, and for most indoor logistics applications, it's perfectly adequate. But the moment you add outdoor and long-term to the requirements, the value proposition flips.
It's like the difference between a disposable razor and a straight razor. One's cheaper per unit, the other's a lifetime tool.
And most people in logistics use the disposable razor because it makes sense at their scale and their conditions. Daniel's conditions are different.
To wrap the specific recommendation, black UV-stabilized HDPE pallet, open deck, the stable, EUR footprint or close to it, light to medium load rating, 60 to 80 bucks, ratchet straps for securing the Euro boxes. Keep the wood pallet for the move itself or repurpose it. Does that about cover it?
That covers it. And I'd add, if he's buying from a supplier, he should ask explicitly about UV stabilization. Not all black plastic pallets have it. Some are just colored black for branding or aesthetics. The phrase to ask for is UV stabilized or carbon black stabilized. If the supplier doesn't know what that means, find a different supplier.
Because a black pallet without UV stabilizer is just a pallet that's harder to see at night.
Will still degrade, just more slowly than an uncolored one. The carbon black has to be formulated into the polymer, not just painted on.
Let's talk about something else that's implicit in this whole discussion. Daniel's moving from IKEA boxes to Euro boxes. That's a standardization play. The pallet question is the same thing. It's about picking a standard and committing to it so everything fits and works together. This is basically the ISO container story, but at apartment scale.
It really is. The whole revolution of global shipping was agreeing on a box size. Before standardized containers, loading a ship was a chaos of differently sized crates, barrels, and bundles. Loading took days or weeks. After standardization, it took hours. The same principle applies at small scale. If your boxes all share a footprint, and your pallet matches that footprint, and your shelving matches that footprint, suddenly moving and storing becomes legible. You know what fits where before you touch anything.
The Eurobox system is particularly good for this because it's modular. The 1200 by 800 pallet takes 4 600 by 400 boxes perfectly, or 2 600 by 800, or various other combinations. It's like Lego for logistics.
The EUR pallet and the Eurobox system were designed together. The internal dimensions of a standard truck in Europe are built around the 1200 by 800 module. And the beauty of it is that once you commit to that module, you stop thinking about whether things will fit. They will fit. That's the whole point.
Which is what he's realizing after a few moves with IKEA boxes that don't quite work.
The IKEA box problem is real. They're designed for retail display and one-time transport from store to home. They're not designed for repeated moves, for stacking under load, for interfacing with pallets. They're fine for what they are, but they're not a system. Euroboxes are a system.
Not a system is a brutal but accurate assessment of most consumer storage.
Most consumer storage is designed to be bought, not used. The Eurobox is designed to be used for 30 years in a factory, then washed, then used for another 30 years.
The pallet is the foundation layer of a larger standardization project.
And choosing the right pallet material is about ensuring that foundation doesn't rot out from under the system.
What about the plastic pallet market in Israel specifically? Any availability issues?
Israel has a strong logistics and export sector, and plastic pallets are increasingly common in agricultural exports. Think drip irrigation components, produce, that kind of thing. Several Israeli companies manufacture or distribute plastic pallets. They're not hard to find. What might be harder is finding a single unit at retail. Most suppliers are set up for bulk orders. But there are industrial supply stores, especially around the ports and logistics hubs, that will sell individual units.
He might need to make a phone call rather than click add to cart.
But that phone call is worth it to get the right spec. And honestly, the kind of supplier that sells industrial pallets will know more about the product than any e-commerce listing would tell you anyway.
There's something satisfying about buying from someone who actually knows what they're selling.
The vanishing art of talking to a human who has opinions about pallets.
I feel like we've just done a whole episode on a single object, and it was genuinely interesting.
That's the show. One object, thoroughly.
All right, let's do the fun fact and wrap.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1913, astronomer William Henry Pickering claimed to have observed vegetation growing on the moon in the crater Eratosthenes. His observations were later shown to be transient, lunar phenomena caused by outgassing, not plants. Pickering was actually in the Seychelles at the time, having relocated his observatory there for clearer skies.
Vegetation on the moon. The man looked aghast and saw a garden.
Optimism is a powerful drug.
To wrap this up, the pallet question turns out to be a microcosm of something bigger. Standardization isn't just about efficiency. It's about choosing materials and dimensions that survive the actual conditions they'll face. For outdoor storage in a climate like Israel's, plastic isn't the cheap compromise. It's the premium solution hiding in plain sight.
The wood pallet he already has isn't a mistake. It's just a tool with a different expiration date. Use it, appreciate it, then let it go before it lets you go.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've got strong feelings about pallet materials, we want to hear them. Leave us a review. It helps.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.